everybody, and welcome to Your Music Your Way, the powerful path of improvisation for accessing your innate genius and liberating your essential gifts. I'm here with Hannah Fox today to talk about improvisation and navigating the unknown and playing and accessing deeper parts of ourselves that a lot of us don't often do. So I'm looking forward to this conversation with you, Hannah. I have come to the position of thinking that one of the most essential skills we could possibly learn as human beings at this point in human history is to be able to navigate the unknown with mastery. We are surrounded by the unknown. We're more and more, it's obvious that we don't know what's going to happen in 6 months or even 1 month or even 1 week. And a lot of the things that we used to take for granted in terms of social norms and political structures and ways that we relate with each other are changing. All the rules are changing. And so it seems to me that one of the most valuable skills that we can learn is to learn how to be okay in a world that is fundamentally unknowable. I mean, science has actually been telling us for 100 years or so that the nature of reality itself is a bunch of energy and matter that's bouncing back and forth probabilistically. And so, you know, at some very basic fundamental levels, the future is fundamentally unpredictable. It's fundamentally unknowable. It's impossible. And so the easier we can just allow that truth in and to recognize that the nature of life is living with the unknown, then we can start to work with that in a way that maybe we can be more adaptable and bring more of our gifts to bear to this situation. So this is one of the reasons that I invited Hannah to be a part of this conversation, because I was in a workshop in playback theater. I was in a playback theater company for many years, and Hannah teaches playback theater among other forms of theater and dance. And I did a workshop with Hannah several years ago that was just super fun and super engaging. And she's a really good facilitator of groups moving into spaces of unknown and playing and navigating that beautifully. So I thought Hannah was a natural for this summit. She is a professor and trainer of dance, theater, and performance, founder of Big Apple Playback Theater, and co-director of the New York School of Playback Theater. She performs and leads playback theater trainings around the globe. She has a special interest in the intersection between movement and text and sound, as well as using playback and other applied theater forms as tools for addressing social justice issues, which is also a really foundational part of this summit. She's the author of Zoomy Zoomy, Improv Games and Exercises for Groups, and has published several articles and chapters on playback theater. She's a certified yoga instructor and proud mom of a lively seven-year-old named Rio, whose favorite character apparently is Sonic. And she's the daughter of the founders of Playback Theater, and her website is hannahfox.com. She's here today to talk about any and all of these kinds of things, and we're just going to make it up as we go, right? So I'm really glad to have you here. And I'd like to start by asking you what I know. Your parents created Playback Theater, and so you came into that world honestly. And I'm curious to hear from you about, you know, what were some of the early realizations or ahas that you had, that you remember having, that drew you into this way of being in the world?
Well, the first thing that came to mind when you asked the question is hearing my parents with their friends who were in the first playback theater company at that time in the mid-70s, making all these strange sounds in the other room, gallivanting around. You know, we'd be dragged to rehearsal spaces while they did this very new thing called playback theater and tried to kind of envision what that was and rehearse for this idea of embodying community members' stories on stage through sound and movement and text and music. And so, yeah, I grew up with kind of playback as like a third sibling in the living room. It was a very much an unknown space. And my dad, along with my mom and these other original company members, were slowly starting to build these structures that now people are practicing around the world in 70 countries. So 40 something years later, we can see that this is a legitimate applied theater technique used in many different communities in many, many different countries. But at that time, it was very much unknown. And in my young child's perspective, it was just very strange, a lot of weird sounds and movements and, you know, just kind of being silly and putting on costumes. And it was very annoying and embarrassing.
And you didn't invite your friends over.
I didn't. I legitimately did not have many people over my house. Also because my parents chose the artist's way and they weren't making much money. And therefore, we didn't have a couch and we didn't have proper furniture. So
you had lots of space for people to run around in.
Yeah, maybe. Because my parents were strange in many ways, both of what they were doing for a living and also kind of how they were connected or disconnected from the material world, I didn't have friends over. But I was steeped in this world of performance and, you know, telling stories. And then embodying them in different community spaces. But then I reasonably rejected playback theater for a while. I kind of went my own direction, and that was in a more traditional dance theater trajectory. Although I was always experimental. So I wasn't doing playback theater for some time, but I was doing my own improvisational dance and theater work. And very interested, as I was a dancer, I was trained as a dancer, I was very interested in how to tell stories through dance, and the intersection between movement and text and autobiographical storytelling using very much rooted in movement. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, around, you know, age 21 or so, I kind of bumped back into playback theater on the West Coast in a very random way. And you know, couldn't help but kind of feel very at home in this form. And so slowly started to re-enter the playback theater world and became a company leader and a trainer. Cool. And cool. Now feel very dedicated to the, you know, I'm very proud of this art form, which is very sort of, you know, in some of the writing that we've done, we call it kind of a new ritual for the 21st century.
Absolutely.
It's a way to honor each other and listen to each other and build empathy through storytelling.
Absolutely, absolutely. Some of the most wonderful experiences of my life have been connected with playback. I was in the company in Asheville for about 10 years and I'm not in the company now. But some of the most glorious and moving and powerful experiences of my life happened in playback theater. And so I would love for you to tell the a lot of the folks that are watching may never have heard of it or may not have seen playback. I'd love to hear you describe that for them.
Well, in a nutshell, playback theater is an improvisational, interactive performance form in which people in the audience volunteer stories from their lives. So it can be a very ordinary, small story, everyday story about the birds coming back in early spring. I'm watching my bird feeder as we do the interview. Very excited about the birds returning.
Yes.
Or it could be a much deeper story about a loss of a loved one or trauma, violence. And so people volunteer their stories and then actors and musicians bring them to life on stage. So it's spontaneous. It's non-judgmental. It's very, very much about compassionate listening, but then it's also an art form where we are trying to create art, theater, movement, song around people's lives.
It's such an amazing melding of different paradoxes. You know, a true story that's being told, and one of the rules is that you have to be in your story that you're telling. So anybody that's here that's telling a story, is they're telling a true story.
Yes.
It might be a dream, but it's a true story. And then we're up here and we're honoring that story and creating a little bit of a variation, enough of a variation on it that it honors the truth, essentially. Yeah. Some of the things that are actually happening up there didn't actually happen.
Right, because we weren't there. Yeah, it's improv.
Right, it's improv, and it's honoring of truth. It's the honor of being something that everybody in the room has already heard.
Which is why I love, you know, I've practiced many different art forms or performance forms at this point, and I love playback because it's very much not about the performer. You know, your ego is checked at the door, and it's very much about honoring this teller. And so you're really just doing your best to listen with your heart and honor this story and kind of just throw up a reflection. But as you say, it's not going to be perfect because none of us were most of the time in the story or experienced that particular scenario. And so then this teller gets to see something new and often will gain new perspective, or there can be catharsis, some release, just by telling the story and being listened to, being seen and being heard, I think is very cathartic and valuable and validating. But then mm-hmm. to get kind of a you know, an artful reflection as well is special.
Mm-hmm.
Most
mm-hmm.
of the time, sometimes we don't get it right once in a while. and then that's very human. You know, we didn't listen deeply enough and we missed an important fact mm-hmm. In the story. And then there are techniques and, you know, kind of ways to correct that.
And so that sort of gets to the idea of you're stepping into the unknown, but there are also skills that you can have that can help you walk into unknownness.
Yes.
With a sense of confidence and a sense of your own capacity to walk into the unknown and be okay.
Yes. I think very much it's about building skills as a playback practitioner and as a performer. So you want to be it's physical. Theater is a physical art form. You need to be supple and articulate with your body. You need to be able to be heard with your voice. You very much need to be able to trust your intuition and then ideally you are with a company, a group of people whom you know well, or you build deep relationships with. These playback theater companies, as you said, you're with Asheville for 10 years. These are long-term relationships. These are people you really get to know on a deep level, and therefore you can really lean on. It's an ensemble form. So you're trusting yourself, you're trusting your ensemble mates. And then you're really just doing, you know, you're doing your best to honor what you heard. And as long as you have kind of the requisite skills and that deep sense of curiosity and trust, you step out there,
mm-hmm,
and something often beautiful happens.
Yeah. Sometimes even when you open your mouth and you have no idea what you're going to say, and the voice comes through, and then you hear, oh, there's that word. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's why I referred to it as a ritual earlier, because there is this unknown kind of aspect and very spiritual aspect for me anyway, in practicing playback.
Totally.
In that you are a conduit, you know, you are a channel. And so you do trust your idea, your intuition, your voice.
All right. And when you were talking earlier about the ensemble, it reminded me of how powerful that is. You know, we would rehearse every week, and we would share our own stories. And so every week we're hearing our own stories of the other people in the ensemble. They're true stories. And so we're getting to know each other at really deep levels, as you said. And learning some of the issues and challenges that each of us have, and and learning to really trust that we can hold for each other, that we're there for each other, and we can real. And it's amazing how some of those experiences and awarenesses can come up during a performance, and we can realize, oh, you know, this person over here was telling a very similar story just the other day, mm-hmm. which sort of opens heart to, mm-hmm. to them. And, you know, and we realize that we're all in this thing together. You know, we're all having this human experience, yeah. and we're all doing our best, and we're all kind of messed up, and somehow or other it can be okay as long as we can bring some compassion to the table.
Yes, that's right.
So you've been teaching this for a long time. I'm curious, what are some of the, I know you teach a lot of tools and skills. What do you find is one of the challenging things to get across to people when they are, even whether they're just getting started or even when they've been doing it for 10 years? Like, what's one of the things that you find is most difficult for us stubborn humans to open up to?
Well, I think first would be what we've already been discussing is trusting one's intuition as you step out into that unknown space, which is improvisation. Because we all can tap into infinite wisdom. It's right there. And as long as we can get out of our own way, there's that self-consciousness thing that we need to kind of wrestle with and let go of. So we have all these games and exercises where we're kind of, you know, both working on how to become more articulate with our voice and our body, but also allowing ourselves to be silly, allowing ourselves to make, strange faces, strange noises, shapeshift, become lots of different things and people and play again. I mean, it's about, you know, if we're working with grownups, like, how do we, you know, learn how to play again freely,
yeah,
kind of in an uninhibited way. So I think that's one thing, is just, yeah, let's, you know, just, it's okay to be vulnerable
and be vulnerable,
yeah, and trust yourself, because you have, you know, you, as long as you're interested in, you know, this person, the teller, you're interested in human beings, you're interested in the human condition, you care about people, and you've listened to their story, you really have a wide capacity, I think, to work with. I think vulnerability is a big one. Yeah, trusting oneself, trusting the other actors, and then, you know, in playback, you're not only an actor, but as you say, you become a teller also. So how do we tell our own stories, and how can we actually trust the group with our deep stories, mm-hmm. and be seen in that raw, vulnerable way?
Mm-hmm.
Those are cool, big ones.
Cool. I'm sitting here wondering if there's some way that we can, you know, we've been talking about this stuff, and I've kind of been wondering if there might be some way to sort of drop in a little bit more. And I don't know if that means for us to play a little game with each other, or one of us to tell a story, you know, a little 2-minute story, or do kind of some kind of something where we can step out of analytical mode a little bit and
out of the left brain.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Virtually.
Yeah. And it might work or it might not. I don't know.
I mean, we could each tell a short story, very short, and then the other person could sonically could sound it back.
Yeah. I like that. A little short story, and then the response can be a sound or a series of sounds.
Yeah.
Love it.
Okay.
How about I'll start?
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. So what I have been going through lately is a lot of stress and a lot of grief and a lot of passion around the election. And I got an idea 2 or 3 weeks ago around, like, gathering us all around Elizabeth Warren. And even after Super Tuesday, I sent a message to Bernie's campaign to ask if he would be willing to look at the possibility of resigning and offering all of his support to Elizabeth Warren. And then for the next few weeks, we would have this opportunity as a nation to go, okay, do we want to go progressive or do we want to go centrist, right? And I bet that the nation given that choice would go progressive. That would just be my bet. And then we could ask Biden in a month if he would be willing to resign and offer all of his support to Elizabeth Warren. And that would be how the Democratic Party could coalesce, right, around a really genuinely progressive vision that I think would actually reflect the interests of every, you know, probably 60 or 70% of the American people. And so I was really charged up about doing that. And then today she resigned. And I sort of am facing this thing that there's this inevitability of like the train is going and like there's nothing you can do. And it just like does what it does. And you just have to sit there and watch. And I'm feeling all this sort of discouragement about like things that people seem to think are inevitable.
Okay. Let's listen.
Let's listen.
I as a mover, I can't not move. So
go for it. You know, it's amazing how even just virtually, I mean, I'm getting kind of teary. I was feeling that. It's amazing how just stepping into the space of sound and your heart and your willingness to try to reflect that as genuinely as you can on the spur of the moment, you know, it's like, yeah, that's what it sounds and feels like. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I can resonate with all that. So I'll make my story maybe not political, although I could easily. The last couple of days, I've been feeling very, very heavy, even melancholic. I had this weird experience yesterday on the couch where I was experiencing inertia. I couldn't move, which is really unusual for me. And like, I just, suddenly there was all this gauze between me and everything. And I think, and so it was like I'm out of it today, thank goodness, but it was sort of like a little 24-hour experience of depression or something. And I think part of it has to do with this political climate, and things just feel extremely topsy-turvy and scary and unknown in a scary way, and just unraveling. But then also personally, I'm in this very new, in this big new unknown space where I left my full-time job, my institutional job, my full-time professor job that I was doing for a long time. And I'm now working for myself or trying to build my own, this new career as a freelance trainer, artist person again. And it takes time, and I have a lot of energy and faith about it, except every once in a while I get very worried and unsure. You know, basically, how am I going to do the work that is meaningful for me to do and that I feel I'm meant to do and make enough money? Mm-hmm. So these are new income streams I have to build now. And so yesterday, it just like a ton of bricks that just hit me hard. And it was very strange, this 20-minute period of inertia where I couldn't get off the couch.
Hmm.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Did that sound like it?
Yeah, the weight and then a little bit, less heavy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some other things on the horizon a little bit.
Yeah, tinkle tinkle. That's good. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I am so, I deeply love that form of playback theater because of this power of how we can really listen to each other's stories, over and over again. It gives us permission to tell them. Mm-hmm. And so often you don't even have permission. I mean, I was kind of noticing myself in the midst of that going, well, I don't know how many people are going to be watching this. There might be 8 and there might be 800, I don't know. And and we don't usually have the permission to just share our truth, and it's like to recognize that, well, that was my truth yesterday. I'm in a different place today. It's not necessarily my always truth. It's just part of my real truth.
Yeah.
And to honor that and to say, yeah, that's part of this human experience. Mm-hmm. And
another great thing that happens is that we start to identify with each other's truths or stories, so that, first of all, being able to tell your story, there's this little space created where people want to hear your story, and that's what a wonderful opportunity to sort of not be so hold all this.
Mm-hmm.
And not feel so alone with these woes and these challenges. But then, your story about the election, I deeply resonated with. I'm like, oh God, I'm not the only person struggling with this announcement today or whatever. There may be someone else out there who recently quit their job or is struggling with finance.
How am I going to make enough money? And
so that's, I think, a very powerful aspect of playback is that through the storytelling, we are able to identify and build connections and understanding and not feel so alone with all this stuff, which a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because the truth ultimately is that we're not alone.
No.
And so much of the thing that concerns me these days is that it seems to be getting harder and harder to just have conversations with people about some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of gets into their camp.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's just, not necessary.
Yeah. No, it's true.
There's so much.
A lot of people feel very isolated, I think, these days. Yeah. All these fragments and.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And the other thing is that, here we are virtually connecting, and it's very meaningful and valuable. But often with playback, you know, you're in the room, there's FaceTime, which is mm-hmm. really cool too, and happening less and less. Mm-hmm. Where you're in the room together, feeling together and healing together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's one of the things about this virus too that's concerning is that one of the solutions that some people are going to propose is that we don't get together.
Yeah. Stay home.
Don't yeah. travel.
Yeah.
And really the from what I've read, the real way to protect ourselves is to keep our immune system from overreacting.
Uh-huh.
The way this virus gets you is that it makes your immune system overreact, and it starts killing our body.
Oh wow.
It's our immune system that kills us because it overreacts to the virus. Yeah. That's why children aren't vulnerable to this, because their immune systems aren't strong enough to hurt them.
Uh-huh.
And so really, you know, chances are a lot of us are going to get this. We're going to be exposed to it. But the way to stay safe is to just take the things that we can take to keep the immune system from overreacting.
Okay.
And it's natural stuff, and it's, you know, it's really inexpensive, and it's will work yeah. if we can find ways to connect with each other enough to share information like that yeah. and to not be afraid of each other and yeah. to not be afraid of touching our face, for God's sake.
No. I right? know.
We're being told to be afraid of ourselves.
I know. I haven't touched my face all day.
Well, yeah, we all do. And, you know, so that's not the answer.
No, I don't know. I mean, again, that's another big unknown right now that we're all facing is, you know, how serious is this and how serious will it be, and how, you know,
I'll send out, you know what I think I'll do as a part of this, because it's so timely. I think I will put a link in these videos on this summit to a source of information about this that I trust. I mean, I've been reading this guy for years, John Barron, and he's very sharp and intelligent, and he knows what he's doing. And he says, this is the situation. It's going to spread like wildfire. It's more deadly than most flus, and you don't have to panic. It's really kind of like a little bit more virulent of a flu than we've had before, and you're probably more likely to get it. But if you take care of yourself and modulate your immune system, you're going to be fine. Yeah. And so it's like, you know, nurture ourselves and nurture our own innate capacity to heal.
Yeah.
Which is what playback is for the social world.
And vitamin D and echinacea and elderberry and sleep and lemon.
And zinc and garlic and things like this that can take care of it.
Well, you know, I teach at all these yoga studios, and one of the owners just sent a long kind of precautionary thing, like, there's new antiseptic soap in the bathroom. Wipe down all the screens you touch. Wipe down all your mats. Wipe down all your blocks. If someone's sick, tell them to go home with love, but firmly. And, you know, and the other studios haven't said a thing. And I don't know which is more responsible. But again, it's like a tidal wave. It's like something's approaching here, and I don't know what size.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense to me from all the things that I've seen from all the different places. It's like, yes, it spreads like wildfire. The chances are many of us are going to get it. Or we're going to be infected by it. The good news is that it doesn't have to harm us.
Yeah.
It's like, if you get a scratchy throat, do the zinc, do the garlic, do the other kinds of antipathogens that we know work, and just do it. And you may get sick, but you're not going to die as long as your immune system doesn't overreact.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
And so, you know, just deal with it the way you would sort of deal with a normal cold. And as soon as you notice a scratchy throat or your eyes are kind of scratchy, then just, you know, take the stuff.
Right.
And you'll be fine.
And quarantine yourself? No. Okay.
I mean, be sensible. You don't want to like going out and like sneezing on people when you've got this stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's reasonable. But the whole idea, I mean, it's just impossible to not go into a grocery store and pick up things that people have already picked up. Right. And we can't wash our hands all day long. And we can't wash our hands every 10 minutes and between times we touched our face. You know, it's just ridiculous. But what we can do is notice and pay attention to our bodies. And when you notice the early signs of something, just start taking the stuff that will kill it. That's all there is to it.
Okay.
And we may need to do that more than once. And be kind and not afraid of each other. I think this whole thing about being afraid of each other is really, that's what
frightens me. And I have these trips coming up, you know, playback teaching trips overseas on planes. And I'm wondering, you know, do I cancel? Will they be canceled? This is my livelihood. I need this work, you know, so it's troubling, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, in addition to, you know, the criminal in the White House, and the topsy-turvy unraveling Democratic Republic, you know, then there's this disease. So yeah, I kind of, yesterday I wanted to like hide under a rock, but you know, today I'm feeling, okay, yeah, all right, we'll figure it out.
Well, you know, in the big picture, and I know we're going to have to go in a second, but in the big picture, it seems to me that this disease, the message in this disease is that we are all in this together.
Yes, yes.
Right? This disease will get any of us.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to go after.
She said, I don't want to be controversial, but there's population control. You know, there have been these sort of plagues and things, you know. And so, you know, it is what it is. And you're right. We just, the panic, I don't think is helpful. And the hysteria is not helpful. And, you know, we just need to be practical and.
Yeah. Take care of each other and spread the information that will actually help each other, you know, like take care of your immune system. Go out and buy your garlic and buy your zinc and buy your other antipathogens and your immunoregulators. And it's like,
spread information, stay connected, find someone to tell your story to. Don't, you know, be alone for too long.
Yeah. And play.
And play. Yeah. You know, find a kid. And invite them over to play some games, or bring your neighbor over and do some improv exercise.
Yeah, right. And it's really, I'm so glad that we got this chance to chat. It's been what, 7 years or something since we chatted.
We've remained in touch, but not an earnest conversation. So it's great to talk to you. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you have any kind of invitation to people who may be watching so that they can connect with your work?
Well, if you're interested in learning and studying playback theater, I have a school now called the New York School of Playback Theater. People come from all over the world and country to learn playback and study and deepen their practice. So you can go to nyspt.org. My own website is hannahkfox.com. I'm available to, you know, you can always reach out and chat with me about ideas or questions you might have about this work. And
great.
See you somewhere soon.
And as we say at Playback Theater, let's watch.
Let's watch. Yep. Unknown awaits.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Hannah. Be well.
Okay, ciao. Bye-bye.